Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello everyone and welcome to Failing Better, everyone's favourite podcast, with your favourite co-host, me, Johnny Pelham, and your less favourable podcast host...
Go on, Johnny.
Sean McLaughlin.
Thanks everyone. Everyone's favourite podcast. There you go. Not a bad tagline.
I mean, I wish it was true. Good tagline, but would I think the Ofcom would have a few words to say about it.
What do you think is the best tagline? Just full stop. What do you think, or the most accurate? Do you think has any company ever done like an accurate tagline?
I guess it's difficult. Is that they're all trying to sell an ideal, aren't they? So they can't they can't say life's sort of miserable and then you die and it's fundamentally pointless.
I once saw in a toilet. Round Loftus Road near, with QPR is the football team I support, and there's a famous bit of graffiti where someone's written QPR shit but local, and I thought that is a good tagline.
Yeah. I think isn't somewhere like there's a bit of Australia where they're sitting, it's like Perth, I think, in Australia's tagline is something like "we're all right," which is quite funny.
That's very sweet. How you been, Johnny?
Good. I've been very well. I've been keeping well. And all things are good in Johnny Pelham Towers.
Perfect. You were just saying you want to move to London.
Yeah, well...
What's all that about?
Our guest from the Tuesday's episode, Harriet Kemsley, came to stay. She was late then as well, obviously.
Yeah.
She came to stay, and basically she was mocking... I don't have many friends in Manchester... I was going to say any, but then I thought there's a few people who probably classify themselves as my friend who might listen to this. So
yeah.
Might not have many friends in Manchester, and I'm just stuck in a bit of a... I asked a friend out... I asked someone out in Waterstones if they wanted to go on a friend date with me the other day.
The other day?
Yeah.
You've done this before, Johnny. You've tried to make a friend in a Waterstones.
I'm obsessed with that bookshop.
What's going on? There's something about the ambience of Waterstones seems to bring out your sort of social side.
And I think I'm always, whenever I'm in Waterstones, I'm in the self-help book, having a self-help section, having a crisis.
Is that exactly where you were this time as well?
Yeah.
Fascinating. And now, I wish I could get to the bottom of what this means.
Well, do you want to do some therapy on me?
Yeah. No, I don't. I don't.
Well, that's one of the most hurtful things. Imagine if you went to a therapist and you were like, "Here are my problems."
I just don't want to do
and
it.
The therapist went, "No,
no,
not like this is too complicated for me." Just went, "No, boring."
I just don't think I want to do it. I just don't think it would be interesting or entertaining. I don't think I'd get anything out of it.
I tell you something that is fun. My mum and dad are both therapists, and they've stopped doing it now. And I was talking to them about it, and sometimes I said, "What's the most hard bit of it?" And they said, "Sometimes the person they're talking to is really fucking boring."
I think therapists should be allowed to like genuinely hit their patients.
That's a terrible idea.
Or just, or at least be like, or at least like shout at them and just go, "You're being a dickhead."
Do you? But I think that would destroy the therapist. I mean, this is why you wouldn't be a good therapist. Because if I said, "Oh, I struggle with my self-esteem," and you started hitting me, or telling me I was shit, I don't think that would help.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be, that wouldn't be the issue.
Someone give me an example of where you think hitting a client would be helpful.
I'm scared of being punched in the face by therapists. I go, okay, this is exposure therapy. Bam, bam, bam. And they go, great, now I'm cured.
But that's quite specific. I don't think there's that many people who come to therapy with the specific fear that they're going to be hit. Because otherwise you just stay away from therapy in general if that was your phobia.
No, but they want to get over their phobia. That's the point.
But why? Because they're living perfectly happy lives outside of this terrible
fear. Well, of course they're not. Of course they're not.
So is it a symbolic fear that is also holding them back in other areas of
their
life?
Well, I mean, look, it obviously means enough to them that they've gone to therapy to try and sort it out. So, you know, you do the maths.
Right. So
the more we talk about this, the more I think I'd actually be a fucking good therapist.
It's interesting. I'm having the absolute opposite opinion.
I think I'd be really good because I think, you know, there is a thing about, you know, meeting people with compassion and empathy. And I do agree with that. A lot of the time that works. But let's not get rid of the old traditional methods of just punching them until they change. Punching them until they change. I mean,
that can be what your therapy could be called. You're doing CBT, EMDR. No, I'm doing punching them until
it's
they
punching
change.
Punching them. Punching. They're like bits of... Human beings are bits of pizza dough, and you've got to punch them before you get them in the oven. Because once they're in the oven, it's harder to punch, but you still can punch them. Thus ends your training.
Once they're in the oven, you can still punch them. That's what you should call this episode, I think.
Well, yeah, once they're in the oven, it's harder to punch, but you can still punch them. So anyway, you don't feel like your social life is good enough in Manchester, and so you're thinking of moving to London.
Well, I have a lot of friends, such as yourself, Sean,
mm-hmm.
who I could talk to in London, and who would, I think, give my life more joy, meaning, and fulfillment.
Yeah. I mean, definitely. Yeah, it definitely would do that. But it's expensive. It's more expensive than Manchester.
We've got like a nice house in Manchester, and we'd have to give up things like probably a garden or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I think that's the. We basically need to see what we could get in London for what money we could afford and then make a decision. But we were thinking about moving to Crystal Palace because there was a few places there that actually...
Oh,
looked...
I'd love that. That's so close to me.
Well, it's near all of us, isn't it? There's like a group of... Like Harriet from last week's episode.
Yeah, last week's guest Harriet, who I'm sure is so desperate to spend more time with us after that.
she did give us a good follow-up message where she said, it made me put on trousers, so it's probably a good thing.
So yeah, actually, yeah. So don't worry about it. Crystal Palace, I used to live there in my early 20s.
What's it like?
Well, when I lived there, I liked it. Yeah. But then I went back. We had a couple weekends there sort of over the last summer with my wife. My wife! do give us a five-star review.
Do you think Alexa thought she'd be married to someone who would do a poor that impression every time he said that he was married to her?
Well, let's put it this way. I didn't say I do at the ceremony. I said, why were we well? So I think she knew exactly what she was getting into.
And you were wearing one of those G-string things.
Yeah, exactly. Yakshamesh.
Kini.
So, and it's so nice now, Crystal Palace. Crystal Palace now feels like it's like Notting Hill or something. It's really, really nice.
Harriet was saying there's some sort of triangle, which is all of like boutique shops and things.
Yeah, the Crystal Palace Triangle. Like when I was living there, it was just sort of a normal-ish area. It was actually a little bit scuzzy, to be honest.
But now...
And then I left and it got very nice. So you do the maths.
I imagine that's a pattern. I can really bring it back down to what it used to be, though.
Yeah,
I'm the opposite of gentrification. I go to a place and everything crashes.
Yeah, yeah. It's a very lovely part of town. I think you would both be very happy there.
And property prices were like insanely expensive because it's London. But they were like, there's some bits of London which it's like you can't get a cupboard for less than like £500,000. Whereas this
south of the river's still cheaper. And there it's like the transport links aren't that good. So you have to sort of sacrifice that. And there's bears.
Yeah. But I'll fight a bear as long as I can get a property in London for an affordable amount.
That would be lovely. Well, are you actually genuinely thinking about it, you two?
I think so. I think we're going to do my Edinburgh show, Sophie do Alma, and then I think in October we're probably going to move. Because I've just gotten so few friends, Sean. Mm. Like, this is how bad it is. You're talking to you is one of the highlights of my weeks. And that you can't not be depressed. If what you're looking forward to this week, or my chat with Sean, I suppose.
I mean, look, I'm trying to improve my self-esteem, but yeah. Even I would accept. I should never be the highlight of anyone's month.
No.
Or day or week or anything like that.
Like if I went to my therapist and said, look, I would like some antidepressants, they'd say, look, this isn't a chemical imbalance in your brain. This is the fact you have an objectively shit life.
Yeah. They'd say you have a shit life. Sean McLaughlin is your best friend. I've never said that, Sean. You're in love with Sean McLaughlin. You've made a strategic error there. And the thing is, if you see him in person, he'll punch you because he has this whole pizza dough theory that frankly has taken the psychotherapy world by storm. And I think it might have real benefits for people who are beyond even people who are scared of therapists punching them.
So you're saying the punch, therapist punching people in the face could be widely applied to anyone?
I think it's almost like I've thought too small. You know how when they invented dynamite, they thought they were doing something else? I don't know what exactly they thought they were doing. But, you know, there's a thing. Like, oh, I thought, you know. You know, like whenever they say that, oh, this was invented originally to do this.
Yeah.
Like cornflakes was invented to stop people wanking and
yep.
Dynamite was... I mean, what else could dynamite have been?
I mean, it's amazing, isn't it? Because actually cornflakes on many people have the exact opposite effect. I know for me, every time I see a cornflake, I get an involuntary erection.
Yeah, well, they've put that fit rooster right on the box. What am I supposed to do?
Sexy chicken. How are you looking, Miss O? Sexy chicken. I wish we did have 18 minutes to go.
It's 7 in the morning and I'm looking at a cock. And I'm also looking at a cock on a box. Oh, cornflakes. Clip.
Clip, baby. Clip.
Do I smell a clip? We should get a sound effect whenever there's a clip. We should go bong, clip.
I think that's good. That's a subtlety this podcast needs.
Yeah.
Bong, clip.
Bong, clip. Next. Oh, Johnny, I'd love it if you moved to London. It'd be so much fun.
You can come
to QPR games with me.
I would actually like that.
Because I'm at the point now where I'm taking my sister to the game on Saturday. And I don't think she's going to enjoy it.
You hate your sister.
And I hate that. I hate her. And she's not only is she not a fan of the sport, she's actually in a long-term blood feud with Sam Field, the midfielder. So, what are you going to do?
Sam Field injured for the season due to a sort of ending a blood feud.
Yeah.
Question about blood feuds. I feel this happens. But question about blood feuds. Do you just need to draw blood or do you need to actually kill the person?
What I like is that you think that I'm the guy to ask about it, but you are correct. I've had a fair few blood feuds in my time and I know the ins and the outs.
The outs is blood.
Yeah. The ins, more pain. So what are you saying? You're saying does it count as a blood feud unless blood has been shed? That's what you're saying.
No, I'm saying, like, I'm presuming blood has to be shed, but I'm saying, is it enough blood to, like, do they have to die for it to be a blood feud, or is it just,
no,
like...
No,
so just, like, a little needle?
I think if either of you, if you're having an argument, yeah. or you're a disagreement that goes over a certain amount of time, and either of you bleeds for any reason, I think it counts as a blood feud. Like, I'm in a blood feud with a guy who works at my local newsagent, because yeah. I was like, oh, no, I paid with a 10 and not a 5, and he said, no, you didn't. And I was still annoyed about it. And then the next week, I got a paper cut, and I'm like, "Well, we're in a blood feud now."
All right. So I thought you getting a paper cut would be the end of the blood feud, and you'd have lost.
No, no.
And that's the start of a blood feud.
It's that that's the elevation of it from a feud to a blood feud.
But how do you end it now? You have to kill him.
Yeah. Well. He's, I mean, I'm still here, Johnny. So it's over.
And then you get a horse and ride into his little newsagent and stuff.
Just kill him. I tell you what's a phrase I've always wanted to say. You should see the other guy. I've always wanted to say that.
Yeah.
And that unfortunately, I have started saying it, but it doesn't really make any sense in the context. Like they'll say to me, they go, "Oh, are you sure about those shoes? I'm not sure they suit with that." And I go, "You should see the other guy." Yeah. And then my dentist goes, "What?" And I go, "What?"
Honestly, I know there's always a
bong,
loose grip.
Bong, clip, bong, clip alert.
I have no idea what you're talking about. Are you sure you want a pepperoni pizza, sir? You should see the other guy.
You should see the other guy. What? What?
5 stars.
Look, you've got to give us a 5-star review. That's the bottom line. So, you're moving to London. Very exciting.
Yep. I'm becoming part of the gentrified elite, and I'm looking forward to it, baby.
I think Manchester still counts as liberal metropolitan elite.
Oh. I don't want to be in the elite.
But you're impressed, which I suppose isn't technically
Manchester.
It's not very
elite. It's elitying, I guess. It's elitifying, because it is gentrifying, but not very quickly.
But is it gentrifying? People say gentrifying. Like, the area I live in, I don't think it's gentrification. I think it's more like regeneration. Like, it's just, it's modernising a bit. I don't know if it counts as gentrifying.
I think now you can get, like, avocado on toast for 10 quid, and you can get a little latte in a little plastic cup. You know what I mean?
The thing is, I don't think that's gentrification necessarily. I think that is the public's tastes have moved on. Unless we put all of that in the same thing. But
so
I don't
how are
know
you
if
defining
it's...
gentrification?
Well,
from blood feuds to gentrification.
Is there any topic this podcast can't dive in studs up?
I don't fucking know.
It probably is. Probably is gentrification, isn't it? I guess it's just to do with property prices. But property prices go up everywhere, right?
Well, they're about to crash, apparently, like the British economy. Not because of Brexit. Brexit was a good thing.
Brexit was a good thing. That is the official line of this podcast.
Support your workers, and Brexit was a good thing. And Bangladesh always wins.
Bangladesh always wins. Brexit was a good thing. And I didn't kill that news agent. Natural causes. He fell onto that knife. Oh, God. So I've got a weekend coming up I was going to ask your advice about.
Oh, exciting.
My wife's going away for a couple of nights.
Yeah.
And I've got one gig that I'm happy to phone it in for. So I'm having a me weekend.
Wow.
And I'm trying to figure out what I want to order in a food. First of all, I need to figure out how to say that sentence.
I believe in you, though. I think you can do that.
Order in a food. Now, the big thing is I was thinking about installing Football Manager, which...
Oh, my God.
I don't know if listeners know of this game, but it is an extraordinarily addictive Football Manager simulator game.
It's the end of your life.
That me and Johnny have both... And actually, I think that was the reason that we bonded first. We've both lost way too much of our youth to this game. And I've been basically clean since... Well, the pandemic, I reinstalled it, and then before then, it was years. But part of me thinks I've got 2 full days.
The thing is,
maybe
Sean,
I should just do it.
It's not enough time. There's no way. All you'll do is you'll start an interesting save in 2 days, and then you're fucked.
That is the problem. It takes about 6 hours just to get the coaching staff right.
Alex will come back, and she'll be talking about something personal or some important matter, and you'll just be thinking about, like, should I get that Slovakian left back?
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
and
I know.
It'll ruin your relationship and your life.
My other thing is I might buy... the CEX has got NHL 22, which is... And they've got a general manager mode on there, which I feel can scratch that itch.
Yeah. I mean,
and
that's
I can probably
idea.
Get that done in 3 days.
I mean, that's... Because I just think Football Manager, in the 2 days you've got, you'll just be setting up, you'll be enjoying it, and then... You'll just either have to stop it, which will annoy you, or you'll just not get any work done for the next year of your life.
I do really wish there was another pandemic. I wish there was a pandemic once a year, like for a month.
Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it? Yeah. And you could, and everyone knew it, and it didn't ruin the economy, and no one died. But like a pandemic where just a holiday. Everyone just went, look, we're having a month off again.
Yeah, I think that's basically what I want, a holiday.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I'm doing Edinburgh this year, and I'm one of the only things that's keeping me up for it is the idea of basically just playing Football Manager for a month.
God, that's I'm so jealous.
Because it feels like you can do it for a month. You can just have to go to your gig, and then I don't want to be out partying because I want to actually, you know, not be hungover on stage throwing into a bucket like I normally am. And so just go home, play Football Manager, you know, eat my cauliflower wings. What a life I'm going to live.
Cauliflower wings. Look at you learning all the vegetarian lingo.
Yeah, eating eggs and bread.
So what food do you think I should order in over my on my, my sort of Sean weekend? What food do you think I should order in?
Like it's very... What's your favourite food?
Well, I don't really know. I don't really know.
What about
I don't
Indian?
Want to just order chips, do I?
I'd get an Indian, but then I'm from Bradford, so I've got, I'm biased towards Indian food being the best type of food.
Mm, I'm from Brighton, so I tend to just enjoy a nice charbroiled seagull. And you, a stick of rock, please.
Yeah, hi there. I'd like to order an ice cream and a seagull to eat the ice cream.
I'd like to order some anal beads and a some rock cake. Thanks. I don't know. I've narrowed it down to about 7 places. I might get pizza. Yeah. I might get Turkish. There's this thing called a pide, I think. It's called a pide. Which is no, should not be confused with pedo, which is a word that we haven't used in about 2 episodes, which I think is our record. I mean, it's called a pide, though actually I do think there's too much margin for error, and I'm going to be calling Johnny and... Johnny, I've accidentally ordered a Turkish pedo to my door.
What would be so gutting? Because you got there and you're clearly a grown man. I mean, like, what? Has there been some sort of miscommunication? Why is this?
I can't eat this. Why are delivery even taking this order?
Well, he's just naked, holding his now nunamect cock.
Get out of here. No, there won't be a tip of any sort. Maybe a curry is fun. I mean, a curry is fun, isn't it? When you order a curry in, that's a lot of fun. And to do it on my own. I could even have it for breakfast the next morning.
A curry on your own is because then you get all the bits and it just feels like you've got yourself a feast. And it does feel pretty great, that.
It's cost effective as well, curry. You get a lot of bang for your buck, I think.
You certainly do. I'd get a curry, I think.
What are the other options I've got? I've got like a really good Caribbean place at the top of my road. But I don't know. The thing is, I think I want to eat a lot. Maybe pizza or curry, I think. Or pedo. Pide. Pide is like a type of pizza. It's like this sort of, almost like a bread-shaped dough. They fill it with like cheeses and vegetables and stuff like that.
It's an underage pizza, I guess.
Yeah, I guess a pide is.
Doesn't make any sense.
I really thought we were doing well on this show.
Sean, let me just say at this point, I never had that optimism.
How long have we got left?
7 minutes of fun to go. Let's keep talking and then it'll go more fun than ever.
A beautiful voice.
Thank you.
A beautiful, beautiful singing voice from Mr. Johnny Pelham there. I was going to ask, are you doing any festivals this year? Are you playing any of the music festivals or anything like that?
I'm not, actually. I'm doing quite a lot of... they're all miles away. I did... what's one that happens in August by like Bristol or Bristol Way?
I don't know. Glastonbury?
No, I did that. I'd love to do Glastonbury.
Yeah, I would as well.
Have you ever been to Glastonbury?
No. I've always wanted to go.
I'm
this
never
year, the lineup
enough.
Is so good.
What, do you reckon you could get on?
The Glastonbury's got a weird booking policy compared to the others. The others, yeah. I know how to get booked there and I've played a lot of them. Glastonbury is like this old hippie network. No one really knows who books them and who doesn't.
But to be fair, if I was the book of Glastonbury, I'd keep it that way.
I'd just send
everyone they're inviting by courier mail, and just keep us. Otherwise, you just get inundated with people asking if they can do it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I'm just going to look at the lineup for Glastonbury this year. Oh God, it's so good. It's so good.
Who is it?
Oh, sorry, I've got all these cookies there. I've started rejecting cookies, by the way. More
have
on that
you?
Later.
part of your diet, I guess. Hello, 4 more years.
Billie Eilish, Paul McCartney and Kendrick Lamar are the headliners. I mean, that's basically as big as it gets.
I guess it is Glastonbury. It's meant to be pretty big.
That's pretty huge.
What arena are we feeling better doing? Imagine if we went headline Glastonbury one day.
I mean, if we were headlining Glastonbury... You've got to think our numbers would go up. We'd probably get... The problem is we'd probably get a few reviews that weren't 5 stars. No. And I'm only in this to get more 5-star reviews. I think if we had like Glastonbury, we'd be staring down the barrel of a few four-star reviews. People would be going, I was watching this on the television. I think it was a four-star performance.
And that would be devastating for us, really.
I don't know if I could carry on.
I think we have to remain underground then, so to keep the reviews consistently high. Glastonbury's maybe just too big a platform for us.
I suppose it depends, though, because you probably... How much money do you think you get for headlining Glastonbury? You got to get a lot.
Like 100 grand, something like a million? I've got no idea.
It's got to be more like a million, I think, maybe more.
But I guess it might be one of those things where it's such a good way of keeping you in the zeitgeist. You know, like some gigs you do to be like back, front and centre, because you're like head of culture then if you headline Glastonbury, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I do think we should do it when they offer it. But I suppose I was more saying is I think we could put the money that with the fee could go into the show.
Mm.
So we could find a way of elevating the show. Or do we maybe we just keep it low-fi.
Strip it back. Just strip it right back.
Maybe we just do it on Zoom. We don't even go to Glastonbury. We just have our Zoom conversation over the...
There's nothing cooler than that. We're not... You know, we're staying true to what made us successful. We're not bowing to the peer pressure of putting on an entertaining show.
How many people do you think would have to say no for this podcast to be offered to headline Glastonbury?
I would say millions. I think literally...
I genuinely think hundreds of millions of people would have to say no.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every other podcast in the country would have to say no.
Every other podcast in the country. I think just like a builder from Essex would have to be like, no, I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? Like just everyone would have to
say
no.
Nah, I can't be headlining Glastonbury, mate. I've got a boil I've got to do. Nah.
And eventually they get to us and we're like, yeah, 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 please. We'll do it.
How would you do it? How would you headline Glastonbury?
Successfully, sexily, and creatively.
Of course.
How would you headline Glastonbury?
Well, I want to do that one now. That's the one I want to do. Before I was going to say ugly, terribly, and with shit in our pants, but I think I prefer your plan. I think that's better for us.
It's astute. I'm astute.
Are any of our listeners going to Glastonbury? If you're listening... All right, here's the truth. Because you know Glastonbury, they have flags.
Yeah.
And they always get on telly the flags.
Oh, I would love that.
If any of our listeners are going to Glastonbury, we will pay for a failing better flag if you can get it on television.
Yeah. And if Paul McCartney, Kendrick Lamar, or Billie Eilish are listening to this... We would love it if just a little plug. It doesn't have to be big. It doesn't have to be any more than 10 minutes. But just one little plug mentioning Feeling Better and how it's changed your life and improved it would be super helpful.
I've just realised that the lineup I just read out was last year's lineup.
Oh, really?
So actually, maybe we are headlining this year.
I would love that. It feels like that's what our career needs, really.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah. I don't know who's doing it. Elton John, I think. Elton John. Wow.
Who is it?
Elton John, I just said. Do you know who Elton John is?
Who? Pardon? I thought you were going to say the two others, because I thought they'd be free.
Well, I don't think they've all been announced yet.
So there's still hope,
then. Maybe
they're still hope. Look.
Shall we send an email to Michael Eavis now?
Yeah, let's do that. And look, if you want to email your local MP, that would also be very helpful. Just saying, look, I think it's time Feeling Better got the chance they so clearly deserve to headline Glasgow.
Yeah, and I do genuinely mean this. If any of you are going to Glastonbury, send us a message. Either send us an email at failingbetterpod@gmail.com or on Twitter @failingpod. Let us know and we'll try and get you an amazing flag. You can fly the flag for Failing Better. I mean, that would be great for us.
It'd be huge. This could be the beginning of... Glastonbury 2023 is going to be the pivotal moment in Failing Better's history, where we go from mediocre to incredibly successful.
I wonder if what should the flag say? Should it just say, listen to Failing Better, the podcast? Or should it say, give us a 5-star review?
I think it should say... Bangladesh always wins. September 11th was an inside job.
Brexit was
right.
Imagine that. Imagine, yeah, they go, what? Who is this? We go viral. We'd be so big on the dark web after that.
I'd love to be big on the dark web. I don't really understand the... Have you ever been on the dark web?
In my head, it's just eBay, but it's black. But it's like... I'm so dumb. In my head, the dark web is just eBay, but like the upside down, and there's like vines on it. If you asked me to draw what I thought the dark web was, you'd go, you know that that's impossible, right? And I'd go, yeah, I know that, but that's what I think it is in my head.
Right. Well, that's very exciting.
Maybe we should get on the dark web.
Should we do that next episode? I think you have to literally get like a different torrent thing. And that's time.
That's time. That's been this episode. It's a shame because I felt like we had so such a fruitful conversation.
Well, I think this has been... I think if you're listening to this, you'll think, what a well-spent 30 minutes.
Yeah, very well-spent 30 minutes. Genuinely, thank you for the nice reviews. Thank you to our new Patreons. Patreon.com/failingbetter. You get extra episodes every week. Johnny, plug your thing.
If you sign up to our Patreon for only £3 a month, you can get free tickets to me doing a recording of my award-winning show, Off Limits, on the 27th of March at Downstairs at the King's Head. And opening that night will be the magnificent Sean McLaughlin, who you may have seen on Live at the Apollo. You may have seen on Mock the Week. You may have seen rooting through your bins at night. Mm-hmm. He is a very funny man, so you get both of us for free if you become a Patreon of this podcast. You also get like 40 Patreon eps, and you get an hour of Sean and an hour of me doing free stand-up comedy.
Bloody good, that. Well done, Johnny.
It felt like the best thing I've done on this podcast so far.
I think it's the best thing you've done in the history of this podcast or the history of your life.
Yes, I mean, I think sometimes you reach perfection in strange places.
We'll see you next week, listeners. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I have nothing else to say, really.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.